Welcome to Shema, the teaching ministry of the Olive Tree Congregation in suburban Chicago. Shema is Hebrew for hear, and we hope you'll be blessed as you hear God's Word exposited from a Messianic Jewish perspective. Join us as Pastor Dan Strull opens the scriptures that reveal, from Genesis to Revelation, God's loving redemptive plan for Israel and the nations.
Father, again, we thank you so much for this day, for the opportunity to rejoice before you at the Feast of Sukkot. And we thank you, Lord, that you are worthy of all of the praise and so much more. Lord, lift our hearts as we look into your word and we think about what it means to sit in the sukkah. Lord, lift our hearts to really see you at the center of it all, that our perspectives would be transformed, even as we saw in the drama. So, Lord, we thank you for being here. We look for your blessing. Lord, may your Spirit bring light and understanding. In Yeshua's name, amen. There's a story told about an Orthodox man who built a sukkah on the Gold Coast on the balcony of his apartment in his very, very expensive condo complex in his very, very expensive neighborhood. And, of course, his neighbors claim that the sukkah was an eyesore. They said it didn't look good. And so they tried to force him to take it down by taking him to court. And so they went to court, and it just so happens that Judge Ginsburg happened to be hearing the case. And so Judge Ginsburg was Jewish himself, obviously, and had a reputation for being a very, very wise judge. And so after hearing both sides of the story, he made the following ruling. He said, "Don't you realize that you live on the Gold Coast and not in Rogers Park? There is a certain decorum which you expect on the Gold Coast. You have no right to be putting up an ugly hut on this lovely street without a building permit or authorizing it. I hereby rule that either you remove the hut or I will fine you $1,000. You have exactly 8 days to comply." That's seichel, huh? That's seichel. Sukkot really is a wonderful time of year. It's a joyful time of year. Of all the Hagim, of all the feasts, it's perhaps my favorite because I so much enjoy the physical nature of it, the actual presence of a sukkah, the actual sitting outdoors and eating in the sukkah as we read the scriptures and as we reflect on what it is that we're supposed to be reflecting on during this holiday. And so that's what I want to talk about very briefly this morning. I want to talk about, what does God want us to do during our time in the sukkah? What does he want us to do while we're in the sukkah? And what I want us to see very quickly is that in the sukkah, God wants us to simply look around. He wants us to look around, but he wants us to look in specific directions, okay? Specific directions. I do have some home links this morning. Here are the home links for this morning. Why look back? Why look ahead? Why look up? Why are you spending time in the sukkah? Those are our home links. I'll give them to you one more time. You can jot them down. Why look back? Why look ahead? Why look up? Why are you spending time in the sukkah? And then for next week's text, I encourage everybody to read through the entire book of Acts this week. If you haven't already started reading through Acts, then get yourself on a schedule, a few chapters a day, and see if you can't read the entire book this week as we prepare to begin our new series on the book of Acts next week. And so, again, what does God want us to do during our time in the sukkah? And basically, what God wants us to do, he wants us to look around. He wants us to look around. But he wants us to look in specific ways. And the first way in which he wants us to look around is he wants us to look back. Sukkot is a time to look back. And we get that sense from the text from Leviticus chapter 23, where they read from during the drama. This Leviticus 23, I just want to read verses 39 to 43, where it says, "On exactly the 15th day of the seventh month, when you have gathered in the crops of the land, you shall celebrate the feast of the Lord for 7 days, with a rest on the first day and a rest on the eighth day. Now, on the first day, you shall take for yourselves the foliage of beautiful trees, palm branches and boughs of leafy trees and willows of the brook, and you shall rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days. And we're going to talk outside. We're going to talk about how the lulav and the etrog are a fulfillment of that command. And you shall celebrate it as a feast to the Lord for 7 days in the year. It shall be a perpetual statute throughout your generations. You shall celebrate it in the seventh month. You shall live in booths for 7 days. All the native-born in Israel shall live in booths so that your generations may know that I had the sons of Israel live in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. You see, so why do we sit in the sukkah? Why do we build a sukkah year after year after year after year? And why are we called to sit and spend time in that sukkah year after year after year after year? And the answer to that question is so that the coming generations, each new generation, will be able to look back and see how God was faithfully protecting and providing our people as they came out of Egypt on their way into the promised land. And so we want to look back in that way. We want to rejoice in and remember what God did in the past. And so by looking backwards in the past, we are reminded that God provides today as well. And what's really interesting, if you stop and you think about looking back into the past, one of the other things that we get by looking back into the past is a clearer understanding of who it is that provided for our ancestors in the wilderness. And I want to encourage you, if you've got your Bible, go ahead and open it with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the New Covenant Scriptures, because I want you to see who it was that was in the wilderness with our people providing while they were living in booths. 1 Corinthians 10, verses 1 through 4, the apostle says, "For I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and all were immersed into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate of the same spiritual food and all drank of the same spiritual drink, for they were drinking from a spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was" who? Messiah. Christ. It was Messiah. It was the Messiah himself. And so as we look back, we see this picture of God providing through Messiah to our people in the wilderness as they came out of Egypt on their way into the promised land. And so while we were in the sukkah, God wants us to look back. And you remember those ads? They used to have them on TV, or it used to be a disclaimer. You know, past performance is no guarantee of future returns. On financial institution ads, I haven't heard those lately. But that's not true of God. Past performance is a guarantee of future performance. That the God who provided for our ancestors is the same God who provides for us today. Looking back reminds us of God's generous, gracious character toward all those who will walk with him by faith. And he will provide for us the same way he provided for them. The Messiah who provided for them in the past is the same Messiah today, yesterday, and forever. And he will provide for us as we put our trust in him as well. When we look back at God's character, it frees us to trust him today. And I want you to think about it. As you're in the sukkah, I want you to think about God's past faithfulness to our people. And I want to encourage you to let that recollection of God's past faithfulness to challenge you to live for him by faith today, trusting your needs, trusting for him to meet your needs. You see that? It was by reading that text of Scripture in the drama that the family's perspective on the trial in which they found themselves was completely transformed. By looking back and understanding the command as it was given, they were able to find comfort and encouragement and faith to trust God to meet their needs in the present as well. But not only does not only does God call us to look back when we're sitting in the sukkah, but he also calls us to look ahead while we're in the sukkah. And we see that out of the prophet Zechariah. Zechariah, at the end of his book in chapter 14, Zechariah gives us a picture of the future. And Zechariah was a prophet who wrote to the people of Israel. His ministry was to the people of Israel who had returned from Babylon. And they had come back from Babylon, which was a good thing. That was part of God's fulfillment of his promises. But the temple had yet to be rebuilt. They were still surrounded and controlled by hostile enemies. There was a lot to discourage them in their circumstances. And so Zechariah was sent by God in part to encourage the discouraged people because of their circumstances. And one of the ways in which Zechariah encourages the people is by telling them to look ahead, to look ahead. And what's so interesting is the time in the year to which he tells them to look is Sukkot. And he tells them to look to a Sukkot in the future. And look with me, if you will, at Zechariah chapter 14, beginning with verse 16. It says, "Then it came about that any who are left of all the nations," and this is after the nations have been judged by God for their attack of Israel. He says, "If any are left of all the nations that went against Jerusalem will go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to celebrate," what? "The Feast of Booths," the Feast of Booths. "And it will be that whichever of the families of the earth does not go up to Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, there will be no rain on them." And then it goes on to talk about that. But then it goes on to talk about how every pot in Jerusalem is going to be given over to sacrificial worship to God. That everybody who comes to Jerusalem is going to worship God and worship God alone. And so Zechariah tells us to look ahead. He tells us to look ahead when we're sitting in the sukkah, to look ahead at the fact that one day God is going to be worshiped by all of the nations, and that he's going to be worshiped at Sukkot. Isn't that perfect? That all of the nations of the earth are going to realize that God is the creator, that God is the protector, that God is the sustainer, that it is in God and God alone that we move and live and breathe and have our existence. And they're going to come to Jerusalem at Sukkot to remember that. But to whom is it that the nations will come in Jerusalem? To whom? They are going to come to Messiah Jesus, the King. And so whether you're looking back and you see Yeshua providing in the wilderness, or you're looking ahead into the future Sukkot and you see the King being worshipped by the nations of the earth at Jerusalem, you see Yeshua. You see him at the heart of Sukkot, no matter which direction you look. And it matters. To look ahead matters. It should make a difference in your life and my life today. It's the difference between watching your team play its sport, let's say football, since it's a football season and since the baseball season ended for us with a great tragedy in Chicago last week. But just think about football. Think about the difference between watching a game in which your team loses is behind for every minute of the game except the last couple of seconds. And think about the difference between watching that game on your DVR, knowing that your team ultimately wins, and watching it live and in person while it's unfolding. And you're watching it live and in person, dying on the inside, wanting to turn the TV off because you can't stand the pressure. You can't stand the fact that they're losing. You can't stand the fumbles and the turnovers and the bad coaching calls and the bad ref calls, and it's driving you crazy and you just can't stand it. And that's how we look at life, isn't it? We look at the things that are going on in our lives, and we see nothing but service, and we see nothing but tragedy, and we see nothing but things not working out right. But when we are in the sukkah and we look ahead in the sukkah, we're looking at God's DVR. And we're looking at the fact that our team wins. Amen? Amen. And so let sitting in the sukkah and looking ahead transform the way you're going to live out your life for the rest of your time. and to live out your life in faith and confidence that even though it looks like you're losing today, even if you lose your life for the sake of the kingdom, you're going to win. You're going to win. And let that increase your boldness and your willingness to stand for the Lord and to tell others the good news of the King who is going to reign, and the Rock who provided for our people in the wilderness. And then finally, Sukkot is a time to look up, to look up. And this is kind of, I think, fits perfectly. John chapter 7, Yeshua tells us to look up at Sukkot. Here it is, it's the last day, the great day of the feast, Hoshana Rabbah. It's the pinnacle of the feast. We've talked about this before. I won't take time to unpack it today. But at the height of the water pouring ceremony, in which the people are crying out over and over again, Hoshana, Hoshana, deliver us, Lord, have mercy, have mercy. And the high priest is pouring out the water as a symbol of the people's desire for God to meet their needs for water for the coming season, for the new harvest season. And they're saying, lift up your hand, lift it up, make sure you pour out all the water. And the people around the temple are almost in a frenzy of a sorts. And at that very time, John reports for us in verse 37 of chapter 7, he says, now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Yeshua stood and cried out, saying, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. And so at Sukkot, Yeshua says, what? When you're in the sukkah, look up. Look up at what? Look up at him. Look up at him. Because he is the giver of the Spirit. And it is through the Spirit that we have life and we have sustenance. And it is through the Spirit's work in our lives that our hearts of stone are changed to hearts of flesh. And it is through the Spirit's work in our lives that our blind eyes to the truth of God are opened to its glory, that we might be transformed. And Yeshua says, look to him, because it is through his death on that cross for us that life flows to us as we put our trust in him. And so as we sit in the sukkah, what does God want us to do? What does God want us to do? He wants us to look around. He wants us to look where? Back and remember how Yeshua provided in the past, in the wilderness. He wants us to look ahead and how Yeshua is going to rule and reign over all the nations of the earth. And he wants us to look up at Yeshua ourselves today and every day. That all that he has for us, all that he has, all that he is in us will transform our lives. And we will begin to live lives that reflect his glory and his greatness. We will start to put off our too small lives, our too safe lives, and we will start living in radical obedience by radical faith to the one who provides, the one that we see everywhere we look on Sukkot. Amen? Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you so much for this season of the year. Lord, we thank you for our Messiah, and that everywhere we turn in Sukkot, he is present. Lord, we thank you that you have provided for us so abundantly in Yeshua. Lord, we pray that as we go out into the sukkah in just a few minutes, that you would engage our hearts and that we would see what the sukkah means in reality, and that we would take that and apply it to the circumstances of our lives, and that we would see Yeshua at the heart and the center of everything, and that our faith and our confidence would be in him, and that our lives would be transformed, Lord, by your grace. So we thank you for this gift, and we commit ourselves and this time to you once again in Yeshua's name. Amen.
If you would like to learn more about the Jewish roots of Christianity or how to find eternal life through Messiah Jesus, please join us at the Olive Tree Congregation on Saturday mornings at 10 o'clock in Prospect Heights, Illinois. Olive Tree Congregation is a family-friendly community of Jews and Gentiles sharing new life in Messiah Jesus. For more information, please call us at 847-222-1230 or visit us on the web at www.olivetreechicago.org.